On this seventh Sunday in Easter, following Ascension Thursday, we find ourselves in the novena, in the midst of the novena in preparation for Pentecost. And on this Sunday, as we prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit on this great liturgical solemnity next Sunday, we read from the last discourse of our Lord at the Last Supper, as recorded by St. John. And this discourse is only recorded in the Gospels by St. John. It is typical of the narration of St. John to include these rather, you might say, high and somewhat difficult texts of our Lord's instruction to his apostles about who he is in relation to the Father and about his mission. That's why symbolically St. John is represented by the eagle among the four evangelists, because his theology, the things that he records of our Lord's discourses, are very high and sometimes difficult. But as our Lord speaks these sublime truths to his apostles, he does so for a very practical reason, because he is about to undergo his suffering and death, and his time with them in the public ministry has come to an end, even though he's coming back only after 3 days. When he does come back, he comes back resurrected and glorified. And he's not with them exactly in the same way that he was with them before. For the 3 years up to the from the beginning of the public ministry to our Lord's death on the cross, he was more or less with them every day. And they lived together, ate together, worked together, traveled together. They all heard him preach in public and then had the benefit of his explanations in private. They were his students. He was a rabbi, a teaching rabbi, and they were his disciples, his students, and he was preparing them for their mission. After his resurrection, he would only see them from time to time. They were basically apparitions of our Lord in his resurrected body. He was physically present to them, but he would come and go and appear in different places, and the relationship was different. And so in this last few moments that our Lord had with his apostles while they were all together before his suffering and death, of course he celebrated the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and instituted the Holy Eucharist and the sacred priesthood. But he also left them with this priestly discourse, preparing them for the things that were to come. And so he prays to his heavenly Father, and he asks the Father to protect those who had been entrusted to him by the Father. He says, "I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the Son of Destruction." As you notice, we read in the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles about the election to the Apostolic College of St. Matthias in the absence of Judas. Judas went astray, betrayed our Lord, hung himself, and was dead. After the resurrection, there were only 11 apostles, so they decided to elect another. And our Lord talks about how he protected the apostles, and only one of them was lost. But now he was leaving the rest behind, and he wanted them to be safe. He tells his heavenly Father that he gave his disciples his world, his word, and they are in the midst of the world, and the world hates them. In fact, our Lord himself is about to die, and as he says in various places, that his disciples will have the same things to suffer. He said to the women on the road to Calvary, the holy women, "If they do this to the wood while it is green, what will they do to it when it is dry?" And if they do this to the Master, he says elsewhere, what will they do to the disciples. And so he's concerned about them as he leaves them, and he's praying to his heavenly Father that they will be prepared for the trial. And he says, I do not ask that you take them out of this world. He doesn't want to deliver them from trial and tribulation, but he wants them to be protected from the evil one, because they do not belong to the world anymore, our Lord says, than he belongs to the world. And so he prays for their consecration in the truth. He says, I consecrate myself for them so that they may be consecrated in the truth. And so our Lord is praying to the Father that all of the things that he has given over to the church will be brought to fulfillment, and that in his physical absence from his apostles, they will continue to experience the grace of God. And this is, you know, of course, our challenge. We didn't have the benefit of being there on Holy Thursday when our Lord celebrated the first Mass and entrusted these tremendous gifts to his apostles. We weren't there when our Lord spoke to them, where they could see him and touch him and hear him, hear his voice. But he was praying for the church. He was praying not only for his apostles, he was praying for all of us, that we might be strengthened in the sort of absence of our Lord, which is, in the last analysis, of course, not an absence, but sometimes it feels like it. Our Lord ascended to his heavenly Father, and as he was taken up into the air, the apostles looked up into the air after him and saw him disappear. And after he was gone, they continued to look up into the sky until the angel said, you know, what are you doing? He's gone. He told you what to do. He told you to go to the upper room and pray and to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And on Easter morning, when St. Mary Magdalene was looking so frantically for our Lord's dead body, when she finally found him and realized that the gardener near the tomb was not really a gardener, but the Lord himself, our Lord said, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And St. Augustine interprets this particular passage as indicating how Mary Magdalene, as representative of the whole church, really, was seeking the Lord and seeking him sincerely, but perhaps not in exactly the way that our Lord wanted her to. She wanted to have our Lord near her. She wanted to be able to experience, you know, what the apostles experienced on Holy Thursday, to be in his presence, to hear him speak, to be fed by him as the high priest at the altar of the Last Supper. And, you know, we all want that, and we should want it and desire it. But sometimes we have to reach out to our Lord in faith. And that is the situation that the church always finds itself in since the time of our Lord's suffering, death, and ascension, really, that we experience the Lord through his word, through his sacraments, and through prayer. And our Lord's prayers at the Last Supper are with us still. Our Lord continues to pray for us. You know, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the prayer of Christ. It's Christ interceding on behalf of the whole church and of each one individually. The priest is an instrument of Christ, but the real priest in the Mass and wherever the sacraments are celebrated is Christ himself. And, of course, it's an act of faith, you know, on our part. Do not touch me, our Lord says to St. Mary Magdalene, for I have not yet ascended into my Father. But when he does ascend to his Father, we will be able to reach out to him and, so to speak, touch him in a new way, that we will be able to have a new kind of power that doesn't depend upon sight and sense. Again, as our Lord said to St. Thomas a week after the resurrection, when St. Thomas finally came to believe, but only because he could see and touch and experience our Lord directly, our Lord said to St. Thomas, You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. And this is our challenge, you might say, in a particular way as we prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. During this novena, the apostles went back to the cenacle and they were praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. But they were also hiding because they didn't know what to do and they were afraid of the consequences of professing their faith in Christ. And they felt that absence of our Lord after his ascension into heaven. He was no longer with them, they felt, and they didn't know what to do. But our Lord had promised them another advocate, his Holy Spirit, who would come to teach them and remind them of all the things that he had taught them. Again, they wouldn't be able to have our Lord living with them. They wouldn't be able to see and hear him. But he promised that the Holy Spirit would come, and from within, not through their physical ears or through their eyes, but from within, you know, the interior senses of their soul, they would come to remember what our Lord had said and then be able to understand what he meant and know what to do with it in their own spiritual lives and in their mission to preach the gospel to the world. And our Lord fulfilled his promise. He sent the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, they were transformed. Things changed in their hearts and in their minds. And they were no longer afraid. And they knew what to do. And they left the cenacle, empowered to preach the gospel and to live the faith and even to suffer and to die for it. And so one of the phrases most frequently found in the Acts of the Apostles after Pentecost is that they spoke boldly, you know, without fear, without doubt, without hesitation. And so as we prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit, as we celebrate this holy sacrifice of the Mass, and our Lord prays for each and every one of us, this priestly prayer, asking that we might be incorporated into the family of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we might not belong to the world but be protected, that we might be consecrated. As we pray with Christ for these graces, we can lift up our hearts and minds to God in preparation for the coming of Pentecost and know that we will be given the power to live and to give witness to the gospel, regardless of the challenges we find in our own lives, the temptations and weaknesses, and regardless of the difficulties that we have because of conflict with other people or the difficulties we experience in the world. That is our hope, and that is our conviction in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power that Christ has given us. And so in this last part of Easter, as we prepare for Pentecost, we wish to live the mystery of Easter in our own spiritual lives. Jesus rose from the dead to bring us to new life. We are baptized into the death and resurrection of the Lord. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us interiorly and to prepare us for heaven. That is our ultimate goal, and that is our destiny, if only we remain in Christ Jesus and realize that even though he has ascended into heaven and we don't see him and experience him the way the apostles did before his death and resurrection and ascension, nevertheless, he is with us, and he speaks to us in our hearts and gives us everything we need to overcome every difficulty and to be happy with him in heaven.